You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
My favorite thing about Sherry and her family is that they had a pig and they named it Piggy Smalls. And that, I had so much joy that day that I found out that. That changed my life. So thank you to the Benson family. Honestly, folks, like, we don't run without you. I said this last week because it's true. I mean, we can't, as bivocational people who work other jobs, just like make this happen. I mean, this exists as a place because of you guys. So thank you so much, especially if you come and you serve here, for making Shelter a place that I feel welcome and that is such a good place to be. And if you're visiting with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for coming and checking us out today. We are in the middle of a sermon series called Stuffed. And we're talking about the ways in which sometimes in our finances, in our possessions, even with our time, we don't just, you know, consume food and like consume Facebook and Twitter, but sometimes those things start to consume our lives. And our life gets stuffed full of all kinds of things, and it prevents us from, first of all, living the life that we're called to live and that God designed us to live, but it also prevents us from really hearing what God has to say to us or stepping into some of those things. And we've been talking about, in the last 2 weeks, clearing space so that God can work. And we're coming up on Easter, and we're trying to reflect on, okay, so Jesus is God, and he comes down and he takes on a messy human body and lives a life like one of us. And that kind of sacrifice of even giving up his life for us, what kind of sacrifice should that inspire us to take? And how can we give up something to receive more of God or more of what God has for you? Because if your hands are full of stuff, whatever that might be, it's hard to receive something. And so God wants, I believe, to give something to you, but sometimes our hands are so full we can't receive it. And today I want to talk about the most valuable thing to you and I and the most valuable thing in our economy. And it's not money. It's not a Rolly. It's not Nike Air Maxes. It's not Ariana Grande's new album. It's none of those things. I know that's where you're all going. It's actually our attention. And now I know that sounds suspicious, so I'll walk you through it. Don't worry. If you don't believe me, that's fine. But like, think about kids, okay? If you've ever been around kids, they are desperate for your attention. Desperate for it. I don't know if you guys grew up like I did, but I was always like, mom, 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 like just on repeat. And sometimes when that won't work, I throw in her name. I go, Dina, you know? Right? And we were talking about that this week, me and Casey, because she'll sometimes call her mom Wendy, and they don't like that, you know? But it works. It works. Whatever it takes to get my mom's attention, whatever it takes. And kids are like that. I used to tutor some little Hispanic kids when I was in Mount Vernon at college. Best thing I ever did, but honestly, craziest thing I ever did. Can we throw up that picture? It was kind of an underground thing. We met in like a church, and it was this one little classroom. And sometimes there'd be like 30 kids there. This is not sometimes, this is like all the time. 30 kids and like 4 tutors. And so I want you to imagine like 30 young little kids who hate homework and me trying to run around and make sure everybody's doing their homework. And folks, like, it's not like when I grew up, like all you had was paper, man. And like, you can't do a whole lot with paper. You can doodle, you can crumple it up and throw it at your friend Kevin. You can make a paper airplane. That's it. Now, like, everything's on a Chromebook. In fact, every kid, like all these kids, we had like old laptops, but they would still call them a Chromebook. Super funny. But they you can get into all kinds of stuff on a Chromebook. There's YouTube and Google and this thing called Roblox and Peppa Pig and music videos. So they are doing about everything other than homework. And then if there was one kid who was actually working, some other kid would be rifling through their stuff and poking them. It was insane, and I tried so hard to keep their attention. I would do anything to get them to focus on their homework, anything. And so I would bring in snacks, and I would try to, like, you know, anything to get their attention. And I started to realize, not only did I want their attention desperately, but they wanted mine more than anything. If you've ever been around a kid, especially a kid in a tough situation, you know, they are dying for your attention. And they would want to tell me about their day, and they would want to tell me about what was going on at school, and let make me listen to just all kinds of crazy music that they were listening to, and watch Jake Paul videos, which just made me want to just gouge my eyes out. And they also like would say stuff to me like, "Oh, the wrinkles on your forehead look like a whole nother face." How kind, thank you. They were wonderful, though, and I miss them to this day. It was one of the best things I ever did. But I was just thinking about this message on attention, and I was thinking about, man, you know how hard I worked to get their attention, and you know how hard they worked to get mine. I was thinking about, man, pretty much everything in our lives is working that hard to get our attention. And if you have kids, you know all about that. I don't know anything about that. If you have a significant other, you know about that. If you've got loved ones, you know about that. But even more so, companies and corporations are desperate for our attention. And sometimes people would call our economy an information economy. It's actually an attention economy. Because if you think about it, we had a Super Bowl party here, right? We're all watching the Super Bowl. $5 million is what a company would pay for a 30-second ad, right? Why? Because all of us are paying attention. That's how valuable our attention is. And there's this guy named, his name is Tristan Harris, and he was a member of Google. And he was talking about how companies design social media sites to be very good at keeping your attention because it's how they make their money. Everything you use, YouTube, every app that you use makes its money by keeping your attention. The more attention that they get of yours, the more ad revenue they can sell and they can make. And if you think about it, if you start to think about it, not only with our loved ones, with our friends, with our job, but everything on our phone is trying to keep our attention as long as possible. And like the research is in, we're not psychologically or physiologically smart enough to know when to stop. Because I don't know for you, this phone is way more interesting than a lot of you. No offense to you at all. But like, I can look up anything I want on here. I can go watch a YouTube video, you know, about anything I want. And no offense to you, but you're a little bit harder to deal with than a phone that allows me to do anything I want. And so a lot of times, our attention gets caught up in things that are good. I'm not saying social media is bad. I love social media. I love YouTube. I love Twitter. Oh, I love Instagram. I'm not saying those things are bad. They're just better at getting our attention than what's important. And so when we think about our lives, we have to ask ourselves, what's worth my attention? You know, what's actually worth my attention? Because there are plenty of good things you can do, right? There are more awesome, amazing, incredible YouTube videos and documentaries and Netflix series that I can watch that would be so good. But are they worth it for me? Are they worth it? And I have this experience a lot where I just finished an anime series that I really like called Attack on Titan, and I'm like, my life's over. What do I do now? You're lost. And I started to realize, man, especially with YouTube, man, when I wake up, I'm groggy. I wake up at 3 to go to my job. So I'm like, I play some YouTube videos to keep me awake. What do I do before I go to bed? YouTube. And I've been realizing, man, because I've been off social media for a month for Lent, I realized that I skipped over that one a little bit because I love it. And I'm starting to realize that, man, if I can't go a week without anything, without like, you know, YouTube, Netflix, if you can't go a week without it, you know, your Twitter account, your Instagram account, you don't have it. It has you. You know, if you can't imagine your life without something, it's not a tool you use. You're dependent on it. And there's this interesting interesting guy named Ta-Nehisi Coates I really like. He has two New York Times bestselling books. And he was talking about why he is off Twitter. In an age where the Twitter is used by all the peoples, especially our president and, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and this and that person use Twitter. He's like, I'm off of it. And this is what he says. He says, I want to be a really decent person, which he says is really hard. And I agree with him. And a great writer. And part of that is controlling what comes in. And, you know, what we pay attention to ultimately determines what we become and what we love and what direction we have in life. And a lot of times, if you're like me, I don't take the time to look at where my attention is going. Where is my attention going? Ta-Nehisi Coates also says that, he says this, all information isn't information, which I think is an interesting quote. And what he's saying is that everything that comes into your phone or comes into your life doesn't always really inform you, doesn't always really help you go towards the purpose you have in your life. Because I can guarantee you, you all have something that you want to do, that you're passionate about, that you're skilled with. And the problem is that there are people in your life, there are things in your life, who if you start paying attention to that, you will miss the purpose that you have in this life. You'll miss it. And I think what happens is that we never take any time and clear enough space to think, okay, what am I giving my attention to? And is this important? Is it worth it? And I think someone who does do that, shocker, is Jesus. If you look at the life of Jesus, I think it looks totally different than our lives. If you're like me, nonstop. I wake up, I watch my YouTube, I go to work, I come back, and I never really stop to just be by myself, honestly, to take time for me or to be with God. And I think that because I'm missing that, a lot of times I miss out on what my purpose is. I miss that clarity that comes from that space. And I just see Jesus walking through, if you walk through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus every big, major, important moment before and after. Jesus just takes time to get away. How does Jesus start his ministry? 40 days in the wilderness, praying. And if I would start a ministry, you know what I would do? I'd go out. I go talk to people. I got to try to bring people together, make this thing happen. What does Jesus do to start his ministry? 40 days alone. For clarity's sake. For purpose's sake. And he does the same thing before he gets the disciples. Before he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he's executed by the authorities. What's he doing? He's praying. He's spending time alone. And our lives, our modern lives, are not organized like that. And unless we take intentional time, I think we'll miss that. I just want you to show you this in Mark, the first chapter when Jesus is starting his ministry. In Mark 1:28, it says, the news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. So Jesus is starting his ministry, you know, and you just don't heal people and people go, you know, I see it all the time. No big deal, you know. People pay attention to that. So Jesus' fame is quickly spreading, and it would be like, you know, if you or I were like super famous in all of Dayton or Cincinnati area, you know? It would be like that. And I don't know of anyone who had that much attention demanded of him other than Jesus. I mean, I don't have that much attention demanded out of me. And I just am inspired by how he manages that. Because he's got people at his beck and call all the time. You'll see here in Mark 1:32, we're going to jump down four verses. It says this. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. And the whole town gathered at the door to watch. I don't know how many of you like live in Kettering, but I used to live off of Stroop right there where that Chick-fil-A's at. If you've ever been by during that dinner rush, man, crazy. Imagine all those people at your door wanting your attention. That's overwhelming, and I'm an extrovert, okay? Please, back up. Just imagine the amount of attention being demanded of Jesus. And so in verse 34, So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he didn't allow them to speak. And before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, "Hey, everybody's looking for you." But then Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That's why I came." And so he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. And so what jumps out to me in this text is that it's only when Jesus clears space and makes time for himself and for God that he's able to find clarity and purpose. And I think a lot of the time, why we feel so lost, and I feel this way, maybe you don't, I feel this way, I'm like, ugh. I get this sinking feeling of purposelessness. I get this anxiety that I'm not good enough, that what I'm doing is stupid or weird. And I think that if we just scroll through people's glamorized lives all the time, that may be contributing to why we feel purposeless, because we never get alone to get that kind of clarity. Whether you believe about anything about God or not, we all need that space. You know, if the Son of God needs to take time away, I think that we do too. No special superpowers. And I wonder what would happen for us if we begin to clear that space like Jesus did. Because honestly, Jesus was a dude like you or I. He was God, but he didn't have anything other special about him. And he had to kind of figure out life or what he was going to do. And I imagine Jesus, who had all these people at his door in this story, he could have started a big old church, right? He could have made some real money for himself. He could have really started his ministry off right. But it's only when he took time away and cleared some space to be alone that he was able to find clarity and purpose. And I wonder, in our lives, if we would clear away some space and look at what is taking our attention, we would find what God has called us to do. I mean, here at Shelter, we believe that God just doesn't put you on this earth to do something boring and then just die, you know? God wants to take your passion and what you care about and marry it with his vision for the world. We had DayCon here, which is like a big gaming convention in Dayton. We were able to host that because of people like Brian and Jay. And they have their passion for gaming, OTM, and they're able to minister through that. And I think about my time as a tutor and how much that meant to me to be with those kids, you know? And I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't taken that space to actually have that 4 hours a week. You know what I'm saying? I would have totally missed out on the best thing that happened to me in college, you know? And I wonder, for you, what are we missing out on that God wants to give us? What does God want to show us? What is something that would be so meaningful to us that because we're not taking that time to clear space for God, we're missing out on? Because my biggest thing with, you know, taking time alone or taking time to be with God is like, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on something else, right? The reason why it's so hard for me to get off my, like all my social media accounts is because, oh, what if I miss something on Twitter? What if I'm going to be out of the news cycle? I'm not going to hear what's going on. But I think that Jesus practices something here that's really interesting. In verse 37, I think it's interesting that Simon Peter says this to him. Hey, everybody's looking for you, man. Don't you know? Everybody's looking for you. And Jesus says this, you know, I've got to go. I've got to go preach somewhere else. In verse 38, hey, man, I'm actually called somewhere else. And I think Jesus practices this thing that you all should consider doing. And it's called, I call it the holy art of blowing people off. Because you don't have time for everybody, man. I don't have time for everybody. And God has called me to minister, to be present with certain people, and to find things that are exciting for me and then use them to minister to other people, to help other people out. And if I'm not careful, my attention is going to go somewhere that's good, but ultimately not what's important for me. And you may have to let some people down. You may have to miss out on something to receive something from God that he wants you to hear. In order to find your purpose, in order to get clarity on something, you may have to clear out some space and let some people down and miss out on something. I'm sure the people of that town that Jesus was in were like, man, we could have really had it going on. We had our own little shaman healer guy going around, making everybody well, preaching. That would have been great. He had to let those people down a little bit in order to follow his purpose. And if we don't clear out space, man, our attention is going to go to the loudest, most craziest, most interesting thing out there. And so my challenge for you this week, and we're going to be challenging you this week and next week, to take a week off something. You know, we talk about fasting here. Fasting's not always about food. You can fast. I'm fasting. I'm going to fast YouTube this week. So pray for me because it's going to be rough, all right? it's going to be tough. But if I can't take that week off, again, I don't have a YouTube account. My YouTube account has me. And so I don't know what it is for you in your life. I don't know if it is social media that's taking your attention. I don't know if you have a significant other. I don't know if you've ever run into these people, but they start dating somebody or they start going out with somebody and like they become a whole different person and you never see them anymore. That's unhealthy. And if you can't take a break or at least have some distance between you and your significant other, is that healthy? I don't quite think so. And you may be missing out on people that you need to minister to because you're so wrapped up in each other that you might miss that. You know, maybe it's your work email. Maybe you need to shut your work email off. 9 to 5, cut it off. Because that's taking your attention away from your family. Yeah, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know if it's the news, man. I was talking to Lynn Kratzer this week, and she was like, man, haven't been watching the news lately. And I'm like, good for you. Because the news takes our attention. They've always got breaking news. This is important. A Florida man, you know, steals this and this and this. And it's not designed to be helpful for you. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what you need to clear space with in your life. But I encourage you, take this week and fast from it. And then use that time that you would typically spend on social media, on YouTube, watching your TV show, going through your work email, whatever it is. And spend that time alone or with God. And ask, you know, God, hey, just reveal something to me in this. Speak to me. Is this worth my attention or not? And maybe if we would do that a little bit more, our lives would be a little bit more impactful, a little bit more purposeful. I don't think Jesus could have had the impactful life that he had if he didn't get alone with the Father and figure his stuff out. And if we don't do the same thing, we will ultimately miss out on the big things that God has for us. And I believe that he has something for you where you're passionate about it, where you're excited about it, where it's fulfilling for you, because I've experienced that with those kids. So if you would, stand with me. We're going to pray. And if you would like, if you have something on your mind, if there's something on your heart this week, our prayer team will be up here to pray with you. But we hope you guys have a great week. Lord, thank you so much for being a God who doesn't call us to do everything, but calls us to do something. That you are a God who is bold enough to use us in your plan. Us broken, messed up people, Lord, that you want to use us. And God, I pray that our attention wouldn't be dominated by things that take us away from the purpose that you have for us. But I pray instead that we would find you and find meaning in the everyday moments of our lives because of you. In a world full of purposelessness and a world full of depression and anxiety, Lord, I pray that you would be a God of peace and of hope and of meaning to people. Thank you so much for my shelter family here, Lord. I pray that you would bless them and that what is on their hearts right now, that they would feel peace and calm because of your Spirit. Thank you for bringing us together and go with us this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining us. See you next week.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.